Welcome to Soul Journey Doula, a Big Blend Radio end-of-life podcast featuring Lee Brovedani. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the very first true official Soul Journey Doula podcast here on Big Blend Radio featuring Lee Brovedani. Lee has been on our shows for years talking about trust. She is known as a trust architect, and her whole background is on trust, emotional intelligence. She's traveled the world, and now she's on her new venture of being a death doula or a death midwife. I encourage you to go to her website, souljourneydoula.com. And just like she's been on our show for every third Thursday, she's going to stay in that same time zone or time slot and be talking to us about the end of life. So welcome back, Lee. How are you?
I'm great. So it's so good to see you.
You too.
You know, you're looking good.
Well, thank you. I feel like I'm beaming up with the clouds behind me and everything. And I feel like I'm all excited. Then I'm like, wait, we're talking the end of life. Are we supposed to be excited about this? But I look at it as the next adventure.
You've already crossed over because you are in the clouds.
Well, I'm not ready. Yeah, please, but I'll call you when I am.
Okay.
You know.
That would be good.
This is really good. But listen, I wanted to touch on this. I know we've done a podcast a while ago about this, but this being the official start of the new journey here, Soul Journey. I wanted to touch on what a death doula, a death midwife is, which means we need to really face, yes, we are all going to come to the end of life. So can you tell everybody just a little bit about what that is?
So, just like you know, most people, if you say doula, they associate it with birth. And a birth doula isn't the midwife who actually, you know, catches the baby and brings it into the world. And a lot of people think that is. What they do is they set everything up so that the mother and the baby have the best possible birth possible. So everything from arranging how the mother wants the baby born, whether it's a water birth, whether they want to do it at home, or they make sure that everything is set up so that the best situation is there for the mother and child. Well, if you think of a death doula, it's the same thing. We make sure that everything is done so that the person who is dying and the people who are there as part of their journey have as good an experience as possible so that it's a peaceful passing. So, you know, people will say, I think they interviewed people and 95% of people say they want to die at home and less than 25% do.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of that has to do with people aren't prepared. They think that, well, I'm going to die anyways. What do I have to do? It's just, you know, but if you want to have a peaceful death, then you have to understand, like, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. And actually, as a doula, what I do is I work with the family and with the person who is dying and make sure that all five pillars are taken care of. And so when I talk about what are the pillars of my work that support it is the spirit, to make sure that whatever their beliefs and practices are. I had one woman who said that she wanted a priest there and she wanted to have him, and it's not called the last rites anymore. And popped out of my head, but if they want that. And I said, oh, okay. So have you talked to your priest? And she said, well, actually, I'm lapsed and I haven't gone to church for a long time. Okay, so maybe if that's really important to you, then you should reach out and find the priest. I mean, something as simple as that. And then the feelings, like honor the feelings of the person. And that can be, you know, if wherever they are, it's okay. Mm. As the death doula, if they said, okay, so what I want is I want to have a really good scotch. I've got, you know, a couple of months and I want to drink scotch every morning. Okay, then we'll make that happen. I want to be able to go to the ocean and dip my toes in the ocean for one last time while I'm still able to. You honor their feelings and where they want to go. What is, you know, and then the mind. So we've got the spirit, the emotions, the mind. What are they thinking? What are the other people thinking? How do they, and this is kind of an emotional intelligence question that we used to ask, and I'm going to put it together because emotional intelligence is emotions and mind, like intelligence are combined. Mm-hmm. So how do you feel? How do you want to feel? How are we going to move? How you want to feel from where you are right now. And that involves working with them, with the mind, finding out exactly where they are. And then their body.
Yeah.
Some people say they don't want their senses dulled at all. I don't want to be on pain medication. I want to feel the feels. And other people say, I want to be knocked out. So however they want to feel, how their body wants to feel. And here's something that people should know, that the dying, and I haven't died, so I'm just going from what I'm told and what I've observed, dying in itself is not painful. Disease that causes the dying can be painful. So we can take care of the pain that's associated with whatever disease is taking them on this journey. So, you know, how do you want to feel is really important. And then the practical, if you say that you want to die at home, where, what's the bed, who's surrounding you, do you want flowers, what's the music you want played? Like, there's so much involved that people don't think of until you're in this position.
So kind of look ahead of time. You know, I think the emotional intelligence, I think, is really crucial no matter what, in life, period. Because I think we do get the amount of emotions that go through when you know, oh, you've been told, hey, you've got 6 months to live kind of thing. And, or maybe it is just a sudden death. It could be a sudden passing, but it's like, but to plan for your family. So your family knows, you know, what you want, how, you know, do you want your ashes scattered? Do you know, all of those things. It's good to not leave till just by chance, like, oh, whoopsie, you know? So I think that part is important. I know that you're very compassionate. You talk about that a lot, and I know you, so I know that, but we also get to have humor here on the show. I just want to warn people. You can't talk about death without some humor, because it's okay to, you know, I think humor comes in for some people may not want that in life, at the end of life, but humor is part of the way of dealing with it. Right. So there's got to be these emotions that go through someone as they know, oh, I'm going to die, or, you know, they've given me my last rites kind of thing. There's panic. There's got to be panic. And then humor is part of that opposite kind of like, okay, look, I'm going to cushion the blow for you a little bit. So humor plays part of this, doesn't it? I'm just covering our tracks here, because people are going to go, how can you be laughing and excited on a death show, you know?
My friend whose husband was dying, and towards the end, I mean, he was in bed. He wasn't getting up anymore. And his sister was there. And I don't always get the story right, but his sister was there telling that it was okay. They would all be okay. And that it was okay for him to pass. And he opened one eye and he said, stop that. I'm not dead yet.
Not ready.
And everybody laughed, because that was him, and that was his sense of humor. So even in that moment, kind of broke the ice. Now, other people, they hear that and it would just, they can't even imagine. And I do want to say, when we're talking about a death doula, if someone has had a sudden death, so someone has had a relative who has died from a car accident and they need help with that, I would suggest that they call a grief counselor, because at that point, as an end-of-life doula, that's part of my role within the whole context of working as an end-of-life doula. But if it's just to deal with the grief of someone who has had a sudden passing, it's better to go and talk to a grief counselor.
Yeah, because that's really the suddenness is very rough, you know.
Yeah.
But on the other side, when it's not sudden and people are planning, it's almost like planning a big party if that's what you want. You know, it's all in some for some people, it's going to be, all right, let's go out with a bang. Let's have a party, put some fireworks out there. You know, everyone's different. And I think that is important. And I think that's an important role that you play as a death doula, is helping, you know, people be like who they want to be, and maybe even soften the blow for the family who may not understand that, hey, I do want fireworks.
You know? And, you know, my friend Charles, when he was dying, he had Lou Gehrig's or ALS. And this was just so typical Charles. He said, I don't want to be dead and not hear all the great things people are going to say about me. So he had his funeral before he died. And he had a party, and he said, I want to hear all the good things you're going to be saying about me after I pass, but I want to be able to listen to them. And that was, you know, so we can arrange that as well. So as a death doula, there's a lot of things depending on the person that I'm dealing with. And then even to the extent of helping plan for the funeral.
See, that's the that's the party planning side.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I want daylilies. Thank you. You know, I want delphinium flowers. You know, everybody's got their, you know, thing. Everyone's a little bit different. I definitely want a glass of wine, you know, as I go, maybe some tequila too. I mean, that's just me.
Wasn't it you that Liu told me about a friend of yours, and you and your mom went to the funeral, and she had been really specific. She didn't want any scriptures. It wasn't her belief. And the relatives ignored what she was saying and did this whole thing. Yep. And you and Nancy got the giggles because
she flickered the lights. She said, I will flick the lights on and off if he does it. He did it. He had a priest. She says, okay. She had the priest there just out of keeping pacification of the family. But I don't want this, that, and the other. I just want you to play. There was a song about animals. Anyway, I can't remember what the song was off the top of my head, but it was an animal, because, you know, she was out in Kenya with Nancy too. She came out to see her there. And so it was crazy, because then the priest just says, I know she said not to do this, but I'm doing it to kind of cover her tracks. And we're all like, what? And the lights started flickering, and then that's when Nancy and I got the giggles. Plus, she got, you know, her funeral was, it was like a funeral home thing with 666 was the address of the street. And it, I think it was Elm Street. I'm not kidding. I am not kidding. I swear. And so Nancy and I are going, well, this is so Yvonne's fashion to do this. That was her quirkiness. Yet then her grandkids are standing up and talking, all these, you know, all these people just completely different than the Yvonne that we knew, which was the complete naughty side, which, you know, that would be, you know. And I mean, she won Bloody Mary drinking contests and things, but this whole other side didn't know that. Wow. So the flickering of the lights was amazing. And we were also very happy that she did pass on, because she had brain cancer. And that was a very hard thing to go through, to know some really spitfire of a person to go through that and not even be able to keep her head up. You know, that was, that was rough. So,
as an end of life doula, before she got to that point, because we do something called, you know, best 3 months, and it's kind of, imagine if today, exactly as you are, you're not hit by a bus or anything, but exactly as you are today, you got the notice that you had 3 months to live. How do you want to live that? And so we help organize, like, what is it that you want to do? Now, we're not going to be there for the whole 3 months, but we can give you a blueprint of how to live those last 3 months and then be involved with you towards the very end to make sure that everything is set up the way you want. So if you want to be facing the window and overlooking the ocean, or if you want to be pulled out into the garden, then let's make sure that you have a bed that can actually pulled out into the garden.
I like that. And then are you also, like, as a counselor, like, can you work with people like in a different country through Zoom, or, you know, I don't know how that works. I mean, is that possible?
But it would be. I can see that happening. What I've found in the past is, and it's usually my friends who are living in other places and they know what I do, that when they've gone through it, like one of my really close friends, when her mother was dying, And she called me and said, she was calling me in my capacity as a doula.
Oh, wow.
And it was around, you know, just feeling this overwhelming sense of loss because she had been around her mother and her were like, you and Nancy, you know, they sparred, but they were friends and sometimes not. And that just that beautiful, complex mother-daughter relationship. And she needed help navigating part of that. So part of my role is like really listening so intently that I can hear what they have to say and then kind of help them hear what they're telling others. Because sometimes we don't always know what we want. It takes someone else to hear what we're saying and give it back to us before we get a lot of clarity. Does
right.
that make
No,
sense?
no. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's like a life coach. And I know that you're certified and that's another thing. You know, Lee, you're certified. You've done education and all of this.
Yeah.
That's an important thing for people to know. But a life coach, a good life coach, right, is the same thing. They listen and it's like a mirror back to you. And
yeah.
it's a person. The same thing with a good counselor lets you guide yourself by hearing what you're saying and putting it into a context of like, oh, this is what I hear you say. I mean, how many people go to a therapist and the therapist says, this is what I heard you say. Is this correct? You know what I mean? No, that's not what I meant. You know, but at the, and also when it's someone separate from the actual family, I think that's also very important that someone has kind of a non-judgmental place to,
yeah,
get it out of your system, especially if you know you're passing, that you need to have whatever comes out to come out. Otherwise, it's going to be upsetting. You want to have
yeah.
that kind of breathing flow, like it's good energy in your body.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, as a doula, kind of being able to smooth the water. So I know that when I've talked to some of my friends who have been working as a doula for a long period of time, they said that it can bring out sometimes the worst in people. So she's been in situations where she has had to talk to two sisters who were screaming and yelling next to the bed of their dying mother.
Ooh, that's not, that's
And,
sad.
you know, it brings up a lot of emotions. So she is she's wonderful. She was able to say, okay, outside in the hall, and then talk to them and say, you know, this isn't the time. I understand that there's really high emotions, and she did it really gently, but she got them to stop. And if that wouldn't have worked, I know that she would have said, okay, you're out.
Yeah.
And so both of you can behave yourself. Your mother is not going to leave this earth listening to two warring daughters. It's not happening.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
Yeah.
You know, but it happens. It's true because all kinds of emotions surface for everyone, you know, and it can cause, it's kind of a reactionary thing when people start fighting like that. It's reactionary. Most arguing is reaction to something instead of dealing with it. It's part of that. Get it out of your system. It's the emotional lack of emotional intelligence at that point.
Sorry, you know, for everybody who isn't listening, we have Bella is going to be a year old, so she needs
oh,
to
she's got
start
a puppy.
Behaving herself a bit more.
She's rolling around because, yeah, for those who are listening versus watching, it's interesting because Lee just did a disappearing act. I
Sorry.
mean, this is good. I think that's fantastic. That's what we should do. You know, it's like the end of life and we
disappear. Yeah, I'll just roll out of frame. Yeah.
I know. I love it. No, but I think it is that reactionary thing is a normal response.
Yeah.
For the beginning of something. It's usually fear, isn't it?
Well, fear and anger are such complex emotions. You know, fear is a response to stimuli that, you know, something has surprised us and not in a good way, because there's a difference
Right.
between, you know, fear and surprise. Anger, a lot of times, can be a reaction to a way is blocked, but anger is sometimes a secondary emotion. We feel safer being angry than we don't want to show that we're hurt or that
right.
You know, like there's so many different things. Emotional intelligence was really great in opening my eyes to peeling the onion.
Oh boy, not the onion.
Yeah,
that
like
is,
that
but that's
old
a true
metaphor.
that saying. Yep, yeah, life is like an onion, all the layers, and you have to peel your onion. You're allowed to cry too.
Yeah, it's an onion.
Yeah. Hey, have you learned the secret to not crying while cutting an onion?
I heard that you should put a lemon in your teeth or something. Is that it?
Yeah, or hold a spoon in your mouth or something. Wear
Yeah.
goggles.
I usually put the onion in the fridge before I cut it because then it the fumes aren't as strong.
Oh, so there it is. So refrigerate our emotions for a little bit. Cool off.
Absolutely.
See,
Freeze them
before
out
you.
so you don't have to deal with them.
But you do eventually have to. So
Yeah.
no, but this is, you've got to be excited. I mean, this is, I think, a really cool, helpful, compassionate, career choice, of working with people and helping them. So I wanted to just touch on that too. For you, what was it that said, you know what, I'm gonna do this? And then next thing I know, you're off studying, you're going to, retreats, you're doing all these things, and you still work in trust, which I think is a really big part of what you're doing now. But what led you to that? Because I know people are thinking that, they're listening and going, I wonder why she wants to help people die,
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say I want to help people die. I want to comfort people while they're dying because helping people die is completely different. You know,
Oh,
it's.
that I'm in Oregon right now. We can say that.
Oh, okay. If you're curious about it, I can finish like pushing you over the edge. No, I help people with their dying. So part of it was went through a really difficult emotional time in with my family. In my family with one particular member. And I always felt that maybe we would get through this. I wasn't sure. But I thought, what about the people who were dying? Sorry, hold that thought. Bella? Out. Sorry, there we go.
Doggies.
This is the live show, folks. Anyways,
There it is.
so I thought, what about the people who are dying? Who don't have the ability to have resolution, or they never make up with this family member, or they die with this horrible feeling that I was going through at the moment. And I thought, who comforts them? And then I thought, well, if there's a birth doula and they help create this beautiful birth, the very best it can be, even with all of the things that can possibly go wrong. I wonder if there's a death doula. And I thought, that's crazy. That doesn't even make sense. So did what most people do. I went on the internet and searched it and found that yes, there is a profession. And then the more I explored and the more I looked, I felt like everything that I had done as far as emotional intelligence and trust, and I used to do a lot of volunteer work with youth who were in trouble when I was really young. And I thought all of these things have led me to this place where I'm supposed to be, which is to help bring comfort, compassion, and make the journey from this life to the next as beautiful as possible.
I love it. It's cool. We're going to have so many good conversations. I
Yeah.
know. We're going to talk about all kinds of things, spiritual beliefs. Even last time we were talking about end of life care, and we should delve into that a little bit more. Even how you may want to be buried or not buried, how you want that part to be of your, closing chapter. So we have a lot to talk about over the next
Yeah.
couple of years, Lee.
And you and I have talked about like there are some really out of this world things that happen
Oh, yes.
during the dying process that you really can't explain, and they happen on a consistent basis that people now, especially in the doula business, recognize that being prepared for this is something that we all need to recognize that there's a bit of magic that goes on in life and death.
Well, it's energy.
And exploring that too. Yeah.
It's energy and it doesn't die. So when, you know, when you're looking at that, when people are passing on, there is, I mean, there's end of life, near death experiences too, where people come back. And I think there's this fear of talking about death too. So I really love that about doing this podcast with you is getting to talk about, you know, things that, oh, no, don't do that. You know, it's almost like they say, like, if you talk about death, you're going to die, you know, and that's really not true, but that's that feeling, right? That, you know, don't wish the negative. And it's not a necessarily negative thing. It's sad. Sure. Because it's a parting of friends and loved ones. That's the sad part.
Yeah.
And you know what people do, and it, and grief is grief. It's real. I mean, you know that, you know, Nancy and I've been like over the last year, lost so many people and at all clustered together. And I thought, gee, you guys went and had a party without us. Like, that's just so rude. You know, you're not supposed to leave and do that, but I'm not ready, you know, to go to that party yet. But there's, you have to work it through in your life. And I think that's the other part is these conversations for people to kind of have a place to process.
Yeah.
And that's why we get to have a little humor.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like for people who have questions about death, if I don't know the answer, then I'll find it.
Yeah.
But you know that there's so much, we get so much information before a person dies. Like there's people have been dying.
Yeah.
You know, it's just part of living. And so there's some things that are just part of the dying process, but people don't know about it because people don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm. It's taboo.
Yeah. You know,
it's
so some
taboo words.
Sounds
yeah.
like it could be really scary. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just part of the body function. The body knows how to live most of the time. It knows how to be born. It also knows how to die.
I also believe in what you're doing in helping people transition and at the same time doing like this podcast, right? And talking about all of this. It's part of that process of turning the negative to a positive because our brains are so that negative, fear-based. You know, that's how we are when we get into neurology and everything. Yes, fight or flight. Well, when you know that, okay, it's, you know, knocking on heaven's door kind of time, you are going to go into that, okay, caveman style, like, oh, you know, and there's nothing you can do other than, all right, we're going to have to deal with it. And I think that's a huge part instead of making it so negative is you're turning our brains into what can we make it to make it special and, a positive, a graceful exit, unless you don't want a graceful exit. Maybe you do want the fireworks. I do, but just don't do it around dogs. But, you know, so I think, you know what I mean? I think there's something to that because of the fear and the fear and sad and grief end up being in this negative zone. And that shouldn't be next to each other to me.
You
Does
know,
that make sense? I know it's kind
yeah,
of weird.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a lot of cultures, even in the United States, that celebrate. So I think of New Orleans, where when they are walking the casket to the graveyard, they have funereal music. So it's very, you know, dun, dun. And once the person is buried, on the way back, they party because now the person is released. And they have, you know, their soul is free. And so they have music that celebrates.
Yes.
So depending on where you live, there's so many different traditions.
Well, it's like an Irish wake. And a lot of people don't want to see the person who's passed on. They want to remember a different time. And I'm kind of like that. I don't necessarily need to do that. Well, it just depends, right? But there is that feeling of closure by seeing the person who's deceased at that time. And then everybody goes and gets hammered. I mean, and I know there's spiritual things in church and everything that goes with it. But the Irish at that, it's like, all right, we're going to do a royal send off, you know? So I think there's, you know, it's, little Jameson's going in there and some Guinness, you know,
yeah.
might, you know, for those who want that, right? So I think every culture, I mean, the African cultures from living in South Africa and Kenya were always interesting too. About, sometimes they kept the body with them in the hut for a while, same as Native Americans. Specific tribes here would keep the body there for a while, and then eventually they had to release it at a certain time and do a specific dance and rituals. But it would be so people could come and visit. So
Yeah.
it's a very, like, your living room would become almost like you're going to come visit Aunt Sally, even though she may have moved on, so
When my
it's
mom
just.
was a little girl and her grandmother died and they were lived in the country, then the women washed the body, prepared the body. She was laid out on the dining room table. Everybody came around and it was like, oh, doesn't Auntie Em look great? And then they would, someone built the coffin. They
She
would,
was
they,
not Auntie M, really?
well, I made that part up, but
Okay.
she was, the men would often, so there were divisions of labor, but the men were usually the ones who made the wooden coffin and they were buried. And then everybody came back to someone's house and they had a huge meal. But the whole thing was that it was never separated from the family. The kids would go up and visit grandma while she was dying or whoever was dying, and they were there was always the family was always around through the whole process. Somehow we changed it into this commercial enterprise where coffins that don't break down and so they leach leads into the soil. That's for a conversation for another time. But we've made it into a commercial enterprise where it is something that is natural, that
Yes.
can just be part of our life, and mourning is part of our life, and celebrating is part of our life. And however we do it should be, it should just something that is accepted.
I love this conversation. I went at a lot of these because I think that's important. I mean, I had a friend pass and the commercialism was insane. It was insane. I think we talked about this on a show where he had passed and he had quite a professional legacy and philanthropy. And there was like a full blown press release we had to do as part of his obituary and all of this. I mean, it was to be tasked on that and then family drama and all kinds. Oh boy, that's a whole other conversation. You're right. Things come out of the woodwork literally at this time. And also protecting his wife because everybody wanted to know, ooh, who's got the money. That's a whole other thing. That's a good
Yeah.
topic to talk about because there was a protection for her that needed to happen when her husband, because she had been a caregiver for him for a few years, quite a few years, and it was not
Wow.
easy. And so she was permanently stressed.
Yeah.
And when he passed, it was like a bunch of vultures coming, and we were like, oh my gosh, we got to hide her. It's like literally get her in the car before the rest come, like no joke. And I remember her going to the funeral home, and they're a very, very traditional Catholic family. And while she was doing it, and I was dealing with the newspapers and getting things like on whatever I could do to. Do we did, and the newspaper, and here she had been buying advertising for them from them for, and you got to think, I think their family business was actually there before the newspaper. This is how, like, we're talking a family legacy that spans over 100 years, and I'm not joking on this.
Wow.
The newspaper said, if you don't come down here now and pay. And in advance, we're not running this because it goes over so many words because he had done so much. And I'm going, dude, you wouldn't. I mean, it was, I got so mad. And they made her drive from the funeral home while she was choosing his coffin to go to the newspaper and pay in advance for this press release to be run about a town leader. And they had been paying in, like, to me, West says, public, I wouldn't charge, like that would be me. Like, this has been a client of yours before you even had a newspaper.
Yeah.
So,
It usually comes down to like I would have found out the individual who made that decision.
it was some young punk. Like, I hate to say that like that because I like punks, but I love punk music, but punk rock. But honestly, that I literally blew a lid, and I couldn't blow a lid because you that just doesn't help anybody or anything, you know. So that if I had known you, Lee, back then, I would have called you. I was like, Lee, come help, because those are the things that, you know, and at the same time, there are people helping and who have lost someone. And there's all these weird decisions that have to be made. And sometimes the external world really can get to you when you're going through this grief. You know, like I remember a real dear friend passed. And I mean, it was raw. It was really, really bad. And it was very sudden. And I couldn't believe it. And he passed while we were on a live broadcast, actually. And friends were calling me, and you need to get off this show. And I mean, it was a show I remember very well, and I called and they told me it passed, and we still don't even, anyway, that's a whole other story about how he passed, but it was weird. And it was weird because he had contacted me the day before talking on Facebook, right? We were talking about stuff and sunrises and whatever. And he was a musician in our band, and he died, and the drama starts. All that kind of emotional drama. And I remember somebody on Facebook saying something like, oh, well, you know, I said this political thing, so I lost a friend. And I was just like, no, I really lost a friend. You're being so superficial. And yet, so you lose your sensibilities of being around people in social settings when you're in that much pain. You know, when someone's like, oh, I lost a friend and screw them. And I'm like, I lost a friend, like someone that close. And you're carrying on with your little superficial Facebook crap. It really made me, you know, because it's up, you're sad, you know. So you have this anger, which is those parts of grief, those steps of grief, which was, so then I think there's something about with what you do that kind of brings in, like, you're not the sponge where everybody gets to cry on for everything, but it's kind of, but you know what I mean? There's kind of like some kind of order to the crazy that comes,
You know, and
you know?
even like there's so much room for huge conversations, and I know we'll leave some of these for later. So I'm not a lawyer, but I would find a lawyer if someone hasn't done a will. I'm not a nurse, but I would find someone if you needed pain medication. And you know, I'm not a masseuse that can do all of that. And it might be that you at a certain point, you can't leave bed and there can be incontinence. So you find a caregiver who can help with that. That's one of the things that you do as a doula. You make sure that all of the things that are needed for the dying person to die with ease.
Dignity.
You know, like they're not having to worry about, oh my God, I'm soiled, I've soiled myself and I can't do anything. Like it gets down to that basic. And even loftier, like I said, getting all of the other things organized, at least finding them. It is like a event planner. The event planner for a celebration doesn't make the chairs; they hire them from someone. So it's, you know, think on that level. Like all of you don't know all of the things that are involved
And
in dying.
the family's going through grief. Just knowing a friend, like a friend or loved one, has maybe been given 6 months or whatever, you know, that is, you're already, that's it, grief stricken. Your brain is not good at it. It's good to do things, but you're not in that social, oh, yay, let's order flowers.
You know, and
You
if the
know what I
person
mean?
dies at home, people don't know what to do. Like, do I call the police? Do I call the fire? No, you call, you know, if they're associated with the hospice, you call the hospice. Or you call the, you know, like there's numbers that we know, okay, we're not going to, the police don't need to get involved. This was not a murder. This is something that happened that was very natural. People knew that this was going to happen. You know who to call. So even down to that level of detail.
Well, I had to learn what palliative care is. Palliative, am I saying it
Palliative?
right?
Yeah, palliative care.
Palliative. And so I mean, I didn't know any of that until, you know, this gentleman had passed, and I didn't know, like, his wife was like, well, he's on this now. And she's like, that means he's gonna die, Lisa. And I'm like, oh my God. this is her husband, you know, and I know. So communication gets really wonky at that time frame because everyone's dealing with their regular life on top of something that is devastating to them. So they do need help. You need help to just, here, let me make the phone call. It's not that hard. Like ordering a pizza is not hard. But if someone is close to you and you just found out the news, that's not easy to make the call. It's that true, you know?
Yeah.
So all right, we're going to have a lot of conversations.
Yeah, there's so much to talk about. Oh, my Lord.
I know. Nancy, you know, she'll be back on with you, too. And she came up
good.
To it was 666 Elm Street. Yeah, she wanted to make
sure. It's been a long time since Nancy's been on one of the calls.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's all this expansion stuff. Sometimes that happens. But what I would like to do is not expand my waistline anymore. Just saying. But I do, when people go to souljourneydoula.com, you can see Lee's five pillars of how she supports those who are facing time to say goodbye. Spirit, emotion, mind, body, and practical. The practical is, like I said, calling the pizza or the flower company. But spirit, I think that's important. And we've really touched on all five pillars, but we're going to have a lot more conversations about it. Can't wait. Thank you so much,
me
Lee.
Too.
Everyone,
you,
third Thursdays. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Big Blend Radio Soul Journey Doula Show featuring Lee Brovedani. You can keep up with Lee at souljourneydoula.com. Follow our Big Blend Radio podcasts at bigblendradio.com.